And in the morning service, in the first service, we got to put a lay on Matt, Pastor Matt. Yes, it's one of those durable lays that you get at church sometimes. They gave us one. We were at a Young Life camp up in Woodleaf. Man, it was amazing. We got to partner with the Young Life to take some high school students that would never set foot in a church. And slowly but surely, they got to hear the gospel. And over 50 of them probably gave their lives to Christ. There was a bunch of us staff. Yeah. It's all about Jesus. It is. Hey, so we are your Hawaii missionaries in the middle of the Pacific, reaching out to the islands of the Pacific, the nations out there, Fiji, New Zealand, different places. We'll show some pictures. Japan, Philippines. We've been to Brazil. But I'm going to, because we're from Hawaii, both Aaron and I are born and raised in Hawaii. We're not native Hawaiians, but we are, you know, it's the only place we know. So I'll explain a little bit about that in the second Hawaiian word. But we're going to do a little Hawaiian language 101 class. Everybody ready? What is the most well-known Hawaiian word that you know? Aloha, the number one answer on the board. It's a, it is aloha, but to share what aloha means, it's a multi-purpose word in Hawaiian. It means hello, means goodbye, means I love you. The way that aloha works is it's two Hawaiian words put together. It's alo, which means face to face, and ha, which means breath of life. So it's the breath of life being shared face to face. It's the word for love. It's like how God loved us, right? The first man and woman, he breathed his life into them. And so that's the word aloha. So it's a way for you to remember aloha. The next word we're going to look at is the word keiki o ka'aina. This will share a little bit about who Aaron and I are. We are not native Hawaiians. There is the Native Hawaiian people, just like there's Native Americans, and I'm assuming a lot of you are not Native Americans, but you were born and raised here, so you're the only one place, you know, this is the only place you know, California or someplace in North America, and so you are keiki o ka'aina of North America, or California. Aaron and I are keiki o ka'aina of Hawaii. Keiki means child, aina means land. We're children of the land. In other words, I can't go back to Japan because I don't know anybody there anymore. There's been generations of Japanese. I'm from the Japanese ancestry, but like you are, from Japan. But I don't know anybody back in Japan. You probably still do. I don't, so I can't go back. So Hawaii is the only land I know. I'm a child of the land. Erin, her grandparent is from Scotland, but it's been several generations in Hawaii, so she can't go back to Scotland and have a Guinness or something. I don't know what they do over there. Anyway, she is from Hawaii, just like I am. So we are keiki o ka'aina. And then the next word I want to mention is hanai. Hanai. It's the word that means adopted. That we're not natural born Hawaiians, but we've been adopted by the land. We also have been adopted by this church. Because when I joined staff, Aaron was already on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU. We had to raise financial support. All Campus Crusade for Christ or CRU staff raise their own support. So from the beginner, first year staff person to the president of the organization, they have to raise their own financial support because there's no central funds. Everybody goes and trusts people in the churches to give monthly so that we can do the work that we're doing. And we were almost at full support, about 10% short, when we came up for a conference in San Diego. And we decided to come up to Benicia because Aaron's sister, Fiona McKendry, and her husband, Robert, were living up here in Benicia. And we thought, well, let's ask them and see if we can come and share about our ministry at their church. Maybe somebody will join our team. And a lot of people did. And we got to share in this church. And so we were hanai'd by a lot of you here when you joined our, we call it our ministry team, so we could do ministry. And we got the full support, and we reported to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo and did ministry at Cal Poly for 5 years before God called us back to Hawaii. So thank you, or as we say in Hawaii, mahalo for hanaing us so we could be on staff and see the amazing things God has done. We didn't do it. God did it. It's just that he allowed us to be a part of it. So we got hanaed. And then the last word I'm going to share is ohana. You guys know what ohana means? What does ohana mean? Anybody know? What's that? Family. Right. That's correct. The incorrect version that's been put on movies like Lilo and Stitch is ohana means never being left behind. It does mean that, but the literal meaning is family. We have been brought into the ohana of First Baptist Church, and that's why we're here. And we're thankful for you hanaing us so we could be a part of this ohana. These four words explain a lot of how we are as members of God's ohana, being in his family. God, through Christ, shares his aloha with us. He takes us face to face in a personal relationship and breathes the breath of eternal life into us. We can't earn it. We can't get it ourselves. We have, like a piece of ground can't get livable by anything else. God has to breathe the life into us, even the eternal life that he gives us through Christ, through a personal relationship. We become keiki o ka'aina when he does that. In other words, we inherit the land of God. We become part of his kingdom. So we don't have to worry about if the world is falling apart or our country's falling apart or, you know, our body is falling apart. Like I got sick this week, right? Because I'm part of the eternal kingdom and will be renewed and revived. I am keiki o ka'aina of God's kingdom. He has hanaed us through his own sacrifice. We're not, hanai is not a formal or official, like legal type of adoption. It's a heart adoption. Like you guys have members of your family that you call family, but they're not really natural relatives. Like, you know, hey, how come Uncle Fred always comes to Christmas? How are we related to him? Well, we're not really blood related. He comes because we love him. And he's part of our family because we love him. You know, and that's how we were hanaed with this family, and that's how we're hanaed in God's family. Jesus loves us, so he came and sacrificed himself for us so he could hanai you and bring you into the ohana of God. And now we are children of God. That means God the Father, the creator of the universe, Almighty God, is your Father, and he's going to take care of you forever. Because you're not going to lose something you didn't earn. There's nothing you can do to lose it. But that should change the way we live. So we have been aloha'd by God. We are now his keiki o ka'aina. We have been hanaed by him. And now we are in his ohana. We are out here for 5 years serving at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and it was such a wonderful place, we didn't want to leave, even to go back to Hawaii. But there was a group of students at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. They let us know through email, we're praying that you'll come back to Hawaii, because we don't have any crew staff here in Hawaii, in the state of Hawaii. So we're like, oh, we're finished. Now someone's praying that we come back. And it was hard to leave San Luis Obispo, because it's a beautiful place, and our ministry was not just us, there was like a staff team of about 14 staff that was on staff there, because the movement, the student movement was huge there. There was over 1,000 students coming to their weekly meeting on campus, leading worship, speaking, sharing testimonies, sharing their faith on campus. It was hard to leave. But, you know, God makes it something you need to do when you need to do it. And so we did. In 2004, we left, went back to Hawaii, and we've been there ever since. We started on the island of Oahu at the University of Hawaii at Manoa and started reaching out to that campus. Then we went to the Big Island of Hawaii, and there was already a staff couple that by then on Kauai. And now God's raised up a crew staff guy on the island of Maui. So God is faithful. God is good. And he can, if you listen, he can show you where he wants you to go and what he wants you to do. I'm going to share a passage with you that this morning that is one of the passages that really inspired us to go back to our homeland of Hawaii. It's found in Isaiah 42, and we're going to look at verses 9 to 12 mostly. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I would suggest that you always check what a person shares from up front, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are not really sharing the Word of God, and that's the most important thing to do up here. So Isaiah 42, verses 9 to 12. I'm going to read it from the NIV, but before I do, I'm going to pray for us again. I did this in the first service. I'm not just doing repetition. Every time I share the Word of God, I want to make sure that this comes from God. So God, please speak through me. Share the things you want me to share. Take away things that are not from you and cause this to be part of your plan, your Holy Spirit's power on the words that are shared so that we can keep moving ahead in our walks with you, Jesus. Amen. All right, so Isaiah 42, verses 9 to 12 says this in the NIV. It says, "See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare, says God. Therefore they spring into being. I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements of Kedar live, where Kedar lives, rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands." So one of the things that really hits me from the passage right off the bat is that God is speaking this. He's speaking through the prophet Isaiah, but it's God that is saying this. And he says that. He says that, right? He says, "See, the former things have taken place. I declare these new things before they spring into being. I announce them." He's not saying Isaiah. He's saying, "I, the Lord, God, announce them to you." It's important to think about that because a lot of people, this is written from the Old Testament, a lot of people say the God of the Old Testament is not the same God of the New Testament. He's the same God. In fact, there's a version of the Bible that's translated into Hawaiian Pidgin English, and it's kind of difficult to understand, so I won't try. You can probably recognize some of the inflections in my voice, but it's Hawaiian Pidgin English is kind of hard to understand, but it's very simple. And they have a translation, and it's called Da Jesus Book. The whole Bible, Da Jesus, D-A, Jesus Book. Because the whole Bible is about Jesus. That's why when people say things like that, they don't understand. The Old Testament was just speaking about what's going to happen. And that's what the prophet, God's speaking to the prophet here. He's saying there's a new phase to this. It's like classical music, you know? Classical movement music has movements, right? If you listen to a whole classical piece, there's different movements throughout the song. It's almost like a string of songs together. It's like a pop version of it is the Beatles. The last recording they did on Abbey Road, the title of the album, the one whole side, almost the whole side, is a medley. We call them medleys. It's eight songs all strung together. You see, the gospel, this new song is the gospel. And it's an unfolding song. So the prophet is saying, look, all these things in the Old Testament was part of this song. There's a new part that's coming. He calls it a new song, but it's really not a new song. It's a continuation of the gospel message started in the beginning. The problem for people like me, and I don't know, maybe you too, is that this new song, this gospel message, we've heard it so many times, it starts to sound like an old song. You know, we get so used to it. One of the most important things we do as Campus Crusade for Christ or Cruise staff is we share the gospel with people like that went to the Young Life camp that would never step foot in a church. We go on to campus, we do outreaches, we reach students on a high school campus. We share the gospel with them over and over. Aaron's been on staff for over 28 years now with Campus Crusade, with Crew. I've been on staff for almost 26 years, full time. That's what we do. So that old song, after you sing it for a while, it starts to sound old. I can sing harmony to it. I can do different versions of it for different people to more effectively help them learn this gospel song, the gospel message. But it's not an old song. It's a new song. And it's continuing to unfold. In fact, if you read through Isaiah to the end, it talks about how this is a victory song. You know, it's a song of the master. The master wrote this song. It's a song that's folding. There's movements to it. And in the end, is going to be the finale when Jesus comes back. It's an unfolding new song. We know what the song is about because of the first few verses of Isaiah. How much time do I have? I take up a lot of time. I want to read a verse, but you can read it for yourself. Isaiah 42, if you read verses 1 through 4, it says all kinds of stuff about the coming Messiah. Here's my servant whom I uphold. I will put my spirit on him. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In his faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. Of course, this is the NIV version. And you can see why this passage would catch my eye when we were praying about whether to come back to Hawaii and leave beautiful San Luis Obispo, because the NIV has the word islands in there. There's no other actual translations of the Bible where this occurs. They all say the coastlands. But they both mean the same thing. You see, when this was written, you couldn't catch an Airbus or like a Concorde that can go over 1,000 miles an hour. You couldn't catch one of these planes and fly over the ocean. You had to get in a ship. So you couldn't fly from Indiana out to Hawaii or something like that. You had to catch a boat. So you had to go to the coastland. You guys are on a coast, right? The west coast, to get out to the islands. And from the islands, you have to leave the island to get to another island. In fact, in Hawaii, we don't have to go very far to go overseas because there's four major islands, and we just fly to Maui, and then we fly to Oahu. Then it takes like half an hour to fly there. But you're still going overseas because you can't swim. People have tried. There's people that have done it, but not people like me, you know? And they've gone in little boats and stuff, but I'm not going to do that. The currents are pretty strong sometimes in between the islands, but you can fly. But back in that day, you had to get to the coast or the islands to get, and the passage says, unto the ends of the earth. So in order to sing this new song to the ends of the earth, we have to get to the coastland. We have to get to the end of the physical structure that we live on to get across to the next land. And that's what Aaron and I are doing. And we wouldn't be able to do it without you. That's what we're doing. We're sending mission teams from different places, islands, to areas out in the Pacific. Like I mentioned, Fiji, New Zealand, Japan, the Philippines. Let's see. Maybe we can show those pictures. So we have some pictures. Pictures speak 1,000 words, right? So I could speak 1,000 words because I used to be a disc jockey, but I'm not going to do it because I can't speak that fast. Anyway, here's a picture of us last summer when we were in Fiji. The girl in the middle is our daughter, Savannah. By the way, our kids couldn't be here because they had summer jobs and things to go back to. They went to the Young Life camp, but they couldn't stay, which is good because then they didn't get sick like us. They're back home doing their summer jobs and stuff. Anyway, Savannah's right there in the middle. And Aaron, do you remember her name? The Martinelli girl? Anyway, these are students. We were part of a group of almost 15 students, or 15 students, and we had, I think we had like 7 or 8 staff, full-time staff, crew staff, and we were doing a mission to high school students in Fiji. And these are some of the students that we ministered to. We saw almost over 500 students come to know Jesus, make the first-time decisions for Christ. Us and the staff team and the 15 high school, it was mostly all the students, the 15 students shared their faith, did testimonies, did plays to illustrate the gospel. And the smiles you see on the faces, like it says his praise to the ends of the earth. It says joyful singing, glory to God. When you see faces like this, that's what happens when you learn the new song, when you learn the gospel song, when you realize that now you're in the family of God forever because God has hanaid you and given you, showed you aloha, right? These are Fijian students. Next slide. These are more students in the classrooms. In Fiji, unlike the United States, they actually allow you to come in the on the campus and talk about Jesus. The Fijian staff set it up that we could actually go in and speak in front of classes. And so the students would sing songs, they would share their testimonies again, and they would illustrate the gospel in different ways. And these were some of the students in those classrooms. They were in uniforms still in Fiji. Next slide. They actually have Bible classes in their public schools still in Fiji. But when we would share this new song, the gospel, right, the full gospel, about that they could have a personal relationship with God through Jesus, it changed the whole game. Like, they were like, wait, what? You know, because they had read the Bible, they had to memorize Bible verses, but they didn't know what it meant to them. I had a group of about 6 boys. I think that this is a different group. I got to share the gospel with them, and all 6 of them, when I asked them, I'm like, who wants to do this? And all 6 of them said they wanted to. And I was like, hang on, I've been doing this for a long time. Let's talk about this a little more. This is not going to be an easy ride. You're going to face some opposition. It might be challenging. You know, this means that you're going to say that you're a sinner, you know, that you don't always live right. You don't always do the right thing. Sometimes you do wrong things. Okay, and I explained a little more, and then I said, okay, who of you still want to do this? All 6 of them raised their hands. Because they'd never heard this before, and they knew instinctively that that's what they needed. They had read enough of the Bible, but they just needed that missing piece, the part that makes it a new song. So if you're in here and you haven't heard that before, I would encourage you to make that commitment to Christ right now, today. This is some of the students we got to minister to. Next slide. That's our son, Ethan, and Aaron's next to, and one of our students there, and some of the Fijian staff. And they are holding buckets because one of the ways that we got to share the gospel is we had these things called filters of hope. You see, people in the villages in Fiji don't have clean water a lot of times. So a lot of these kids would go home, but they would get sick with stomach illnesses and stuff because they had to drink pond water that had all kinds of bacteria and stuff. These little, only as big as like a little bottle of, you know, water that you can get at the store, is a filter with microfilters in it. So it filters everything out. You put the dirty water in the bucket and make a hole in it, has a tube coming down to the filter, and on the other end of the tube would come out clean water, gravity fed. I got to demonstrate it in front of a chief. I had to like crawl on the ground because everybody's on the ground. Only the chief is sitting on his high chair in the middle of the whole congregation. And I crawl up to him and I showed him how to take this dirty, we had really dirty water. You know, these are high school kids helping, right? So they make the water really dirty for uncle to drink. In Hawaii and the islands, they call anybody that's older than them uncle or auntie. So they call Uncle Kent, you know. So Uncle Kent gets to drink the water. So they pour this really dirty water in the bucket. The thing comes out in a cup. And everybody's like, oh, he's going to drink it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to drink it. Oh, my goodness. You know, so I take the cup and I drank it in front of the chief because it was clean water when it came out the other end. And I got to illustrate to the chief that that is how Jesus works. He takes all our muck and evil intents, or even sometimes we want to do good, but we don't do anything good. That's called sin. Takes the sin in our life, and he filters it through him, through Jesus. And I got to share the gospel with the chief. And he invited us to come back. The other thing the Fijian staff did, these are all college students or college age, is they don't have a high school ministry yet. So all these students, over 500 of them that made first-time decisions for Christ, they all filled out cards, contact cards, even ones that didn't make decisions. So now the Fijian staff have been following them up for a whole year and discipling them and helping them grow in their faith. The whole strategy with Crew is really easy. It's win, build, send. Well, it's simple. It's not easy. So you win people to Christ, and then you build them up in their faith, disciple them, and then you send them out to reach another person. That's how we do our ministry. Win, build, send. Next slide. This is our team on Oahu at a Crew fall retreat. We call them fall getaways. We take college students, this is part of the staff team and some of the students. We take college students from the different parts of the islands. Ours on the Big Island, this one's on Oahu. We have one on Maui now, we have Kauai. We take students and we take them to fall getaway, and we start to share with them the gospel. Try to build them up into leaders. Next slide. And that's part of the staff team. This is one of the students that we got to baptize at this fall getaway, which was held on the north shore of Oahu. But the waves weren't big that day, so we could be in there and give them the dunk. You know, if they really wanted to make a commitment to Christ, that they're going to take actions from their faith. They're going to do something about it. And so she got baptized, and I think we had three other students that got baptized. Next slide. This is our new staff guy on Maui. When we first got back to Hawaii in 2004, was that 20 years ago already? We started visiting Maui College on the island of Maui because there was no staff or ministry there. And we started praying. And just last year, God raised up this guy. His name's John, who joined staff. So now we have an outreach on Maui also, at Maui, University of Hawaii, Maui College. All right, and that's John. He's a great guy. I got to disciple him, and I'm helping him learn how to share his faith along with the leader on Oahu, the staff leader on Oahu. All right, next slide. This is one of our newer outreaches to high schools. We've been doing outreach not only to the University of Hawaii, but now to the local high schools on the Big Island. And this was one of them that was in Kona. We have one in our town of Waimea now, and another one in Kona at a school called Kealakehe School, High School. This one is Kona Waina High School. And there were over 100 kids that came for lunchtime, pizza, and Jesus Club. It was really cool because, you know, they gave them pizza. We didn't do this on our own. There's like three staff from this Kona Kids Outreach that does this one. And I just partner with these ministries and learn how to do high school ministry. And there was like 140 kids that came. And they stayed around for the Jesus Club part after the pizza. So God is doing amazing work in the high schools. We feel like we need to get to them before they get to college, so that we can really help that bleeding stop. We're losing over 75% of our college kids when they hit the college campus from our churches. So we want to make sure they know Jesus and they can stand up to the challenges they face when they go to college. Next slide. This is Ginate from Papua New Guinea, who's one of our students that graduated from the University of Hawaii at Hilo this year. She's going to go back and work in Papua New Guinea because she was on a scholarship program her government provided to work there and hopefully influence people for Christ in, they call it PNG. And I got to share the gospel in their native tongue because I have an app on my phone called God Tools. It's a free app. You can get it yourself. But you can share the gospel in English or you can tap on the other one and it shares it in another language. And I was meeting up with her and this, you can go to the next slide. Her good friend, Leo Sheena. And as I scrolled down the app, they said, hey, that's our language. It was Tokpisin is their native language. And so I said, have you ever heard the gospel message in your native tongue? They said, no. So I read it in English, and they read it in Tokpisin, and they both prayed to receive Christ in Tokpisin. So that's Yinate and Leo Sheena. We're going to miss them. Back to Papua New Guinea, both of them. And here is part of the staff team. There's John from Maui and the Kauai leaders over there between that younger girl and myself. And the leader of Oahu is in the red dress in the middle. And that's one of the younger staff on Oahu who's been working in the Japanese language schools, universities on Oahu. And is that the last one? I forget now. Two more? Go ahead. That is part of our winter conference team, some of the staff and some of the students. The tallest one over there is our son, Ethan. I won't try to name everybody, but yeah. That was on the Big Island. We hosted it on our island. So we do our fall conference on Oahu, and right now we're doing our winter conference in Hilo on the Big Island of Hawaii, where Aaron and I are on. Next slide. And that is our family. Ethan on that side, who's 17, Savannah, who's 15, myself, and my beautiful wife. Yep. Next slide. That's it? All right. So how much time do I have? I can talk on and on, but we have an important thing coming up. We need to eat food, so let's not take too long here. Okay, so one of the passages, well, a couple of the passages, again, in that passage I read when I started, Isaiah 42, talks about how the people in those towns and in Kedar, they raise their voices and they rejoice, and in Selah, people sing for joy. You know, you can see in those pictures that when people hear this new song or the gospel for the first time and they understand it and receive it, the joy on their faces. I just want to encourage us to continue to sing the new song, not mumble it and, oh man, I'm tired of saying this stuff over and over, you know, like, yeah, I go to church, you know, like, be excited. It's exciting. God gave his son for this. That's why we have it. We have this new song. And he's coming back. That's something to get excited about, I think. Let's sing with joy. Let's rejoice over that. And remember, when we sing this song, we're not really the ones singing it. We sing it together as an ohana, as a family. And we get each other excited. We wouldn't be able to do our ministry without you. So someday, at the end of this whole thing, when we get there and are with Jesus, there's going to be people that come up to you that you've never seen before. And so why are you saying thank you to me? And they're going to say, well, I was told that you helped these missionaries send these kids to my island group, and I got to hear the gospel, and that's why I'm here. Because we're ohana, and we're singing this new song together. We're just God's instruments. You just become part of what God's doing, and get excited and be part of it. Take part in what this church does and what you hear that missionaries are doing. Because that's going to be the most joyous and rejoicing and amazing thing that you can sing about for all eternity. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. I want to end with a story of a famous classical musician. His name was Fritz Kreisler. He lived from 1875 to 1962. He was a world-famous violinist. He earned a lot of money doing concerts and selling his compositions, but he gave mostly all of it away. So he had, it was on one of his trips, and he had all this money still, and he wanted to, he met a guy, a collector, who had a violin that was an amazing violin. It was a collector's item. That's why the collector had it. And this guy Kreisler, famous musician, he wanted to buy it from this collector, but the collector said, oh, no, I'm not selling. That's priceless. I'm not going to sell that to you. Like, no, I'll give you more money. Here's all the money I have. And he had a lot of money. And the guy said, no, I'm not going to sell it to you. So Kreisler started walking away, and he was like, man, that's that amazing violin I could have had and played. So he turned around, and he was like, hey, can I do something before I leave? Just one thing, just, you know, can I play it? And so the guy said, the collector said, okay, so you can play it. But I'm not selling it to you. You can play. So he let Kreisler play it, and Kreisler was a master musician. He played this such a beautiful melody on this violin that the collector, he kind of put his head down, and he was like, okay, you can have this violin. And Kreisler's like, oh, thank you so much. He was going to hand him the money. He said, no, no. He said, you need to play this instrument. It would just sit on his shelf collecting dust as a collector's item. But in the hands of the master, he could play this beautiful song. And that's what we are. We're his instruments. We just need to be part of the song. So let me pray for us, and we're going to sing a song and then worship. Lord, thank you that you allow us to be part of the new song that people sing on earth till you come, and then in eternity with rejoicing and joy. I pray that every one of us would find our part in that song and sing it to whoever will listen. Thank you again, Lord. Thank you for this ohana that Hanai, Aaron, and I, almost 30 years ago, over 20 years ago. Thank you, Lord. I pray all this. Please bless them, Lord. Bless this church. Continue to cause them to be a living, thriving church. In Jesus' name, amen.